Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a pet? Do you have a dog or cat or some other kind of pet? Well, fortunately, most of us do have pets, and I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you must have one too. Tell me now, do you know what to do about flea and tick season? Now, that's really a great question, and I'm sure most of us are waiting for you. Have you heard about some mistakes that pet owners make during flea and tick season? Would you like to learn more about the signs your dog or cat may have a problem? Can you imagine trying to remove a tick with your bare hand? That's something I don't think I'd even try. Now, have you ever heard about a product called VetGuard Plus? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful, and how to do flea and tick season with your pet? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories today. I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she is a very experienced veterinarian. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talkform Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Our show has now had over 2.2 million listeners to date. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no-wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Our guest was born and raised in Southern California. After completing a BS degree at the University of California, Davis, she attended Colorado State University School of Veterinary Medicine. Following graduation in 1995, she moved back to Southern California and has enjoyed practicing small animal veterinary medicine in Orange County ever since. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Dr. Liz Hansen. Hi, Dr. Liz. How are you doing today?
Hi, January.
So I want to start with, where did your success story begin? Where were you raised, and who were your early mentors?
That's a great question. You know, I want to first off tell you how much I do love my career. I have one of those jobs that I'm fortunate enough where I do look forward to going to work every day. I get to see my clients that I love. I see the pets that I help. And, you know, I certainly feel blessed that I do have a job that I'm happy with and a career that I enjoy doing for a long time. And so it's going to be a while before I retire. To get to this point, you know, to be where I'm at right now certainly wasn't without struggle.
Okay.
And, you know, growing up, my parents really didn't have any desire to have pets. And, they weren't raised to see the value of having pets. And, you know, my dad is actually originally from Bali, Indonesia. And, you know, even though there were some pets there, most of the dogs were those international street dogs running around in the dirt roads. And my mom really didn't have a great, you know, affection towards pets. And so it really, you know, was somewhat discouraging when I told them that I wanted to be a veterinarian. And, you know, they weren't so happy with that. So it was a tough road to get to where I'm at because I had a lot of discouragement.
Well, now, let me ask you, Dr. Liz, as a child, did you have an affinity for animals? Were you interested in them?
Yes. So although most of my immediate and extended families were not animal lovers, I've always had a great affinity towards pets. And, you know, even growing up in a California suburb, not a farm, through my relentless love for pets, I actually ended up convincing my parents to get me a menagerie of pets. I ended up with 4 horses, 2 ponies, 1 cat, 3 dogs, a poodle, German Shepherd, and Dalmatian. I had 2 fish tanks, 3 chickens that I picked eggs from. Now, granted, remember I said I did not live in a farm. Bunnies, I had a huge bunny hutch. I had 2 lovebirds, a lizard, hamsters, red-eared slider turtles, and guinea pigs. So, you know, that's how much I had an affinity of love for pets.
Well, you know, I'm really impressed that your parents went along with that, considering they came from a culture that people didn't usually have pets. Who were your early mentors? Who did you know any veterinarians when you were growing up?
I did. I ended up volunteering at a small animal hospital near home, and my horse's veterinarian was actually a huge mentor as well. Both veterinarians were always so happy when I saw them at work. I really felt that they enjoyed their job. And at the end, when I brought my own pets, I really felt that they were able to, for the most part, you know, give them a better quality of life. And I could see that they were so satisfied with that. And I've always wanted to be a part of that and be a part of the animals and that enjoyment of helping and seeing the clients happy. And those were my 2 biggest mentors. And, you know, when I was in my junior high school and high school years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I wanted to book this interview because I have a son who is in middle school, and his desire is to eventually become a veterinarian. So I told him we were going to have you on the show, and he's very eager to hear about your experiences as a veterinarian. Could you share what is the best thing about it and what is the worst thing?
The best part of being a veterinarian is, you know, all the things that come when you are able to get that pet healthy, you know, and a lot of times you have to play detective because they don't come into your office and tell you, I hurt my right hip.
To be intuitive and you're treating an animal, don't you?
Right. And, you know, to see them get better and really extend the longevity between the relationship between that pet and the owner is really my greatest joy. And I would say the hardest and the most frustrating is because in the world of medicine, there's no guarantees. Sometimes, you know, there's nothing that you can do to make things better. And that's the reality is no matter what you do, in some cases, you know, the pet just simply cannot get better. And that's probably the hardest part of my job.
Well, I think anyone who's had pets such as you and myself, we've had horses, ponies, cats, dogs, guinea pigs, you name it. I think the most tragic and most difficult time is when it gets to the end of the road and you have to take your pet to the vet and you have to let them go on their way. It's so difficult to go through, isn't it?
That is one of the hardest decisions I feel that a family can make because you almost feel like you're responsible for their death. But in reality, you know, I always tell my clients, you're actually making this decision as a selfless decision. You're really making it for your pet. And, you know, when they suffer and, you know, their quality of life is so poor that they don't have the basics, you know, where they can't walk or they can't go to the bathroom with dignity or they can't eat, you know, then a lot of times, you know, it's time. And I would say, the majority of my clients, you know, they know their pet so well. They know when it's time, but it's so difficult to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's part of, I always think about it as part of the circle of life. And I'm so sad when I look at my pets and realize that their life cycle is 10 years or 12 years. But, you know, one of the interesting things is that when you lose a pet and you have children involved, it's part of the process for children to learn about death and dying. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. In fact, that is one of the hardest experiences that I have in putting a cat or a dog down, is having the entire family there. And oftentimes you see the reaction of these children that, you know, the parents felt were appropriate to watch. And every family is different in making that decision. But sometimes, you know, it's a real reality check for these kids who see that there is an end point. And, you know, it's a growing experience. I don't recommend it for all children. And, you know, I do think it's a personal decision, and they really have to be mature enough to understand what's going on. But it is just heart-wrenching when you see a family lose their pet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, your pets, they're your family. And, you know, I'm in a place where we live. Most of us are retired. And so we all have our dogs, and guess what? Our dogs have become our children and grandchildren, and it's very difficult when there's a loss. Now tell me, Liz, was there ever a time when you second-guessed your decision to be a veterinarian?
There was. You know, I had explained earlier that I really didn't receive much early support when I decided to pursue a career in veterinary medicine. In fact, my parents really pushed me towards, you know, the classic, why don't you become a medical doctor or a lawyer? And, you know, with their pushing for, you know, going down that road, I did second guess, well, maybe, you know, I shouldn't spend this much money in veterinary medicine, and maybe I should apply for medical school, and, you know, maybe that is a more prestigious job, and I would be happier that. And I did explore it, and I did volunteer at VA hospitals, and I just knew it wasn't the right fit. It wasn't my passion. But, you know, you have to really want it, because the reality is that most veterinary students graduate with an average of $150,000 in loans. So there's
a lot
of hurdles. there's a lot of hurdles that you have to face.
And how long are you in school, Dr. Liz, when you want to become a veterinarian?
So after you finish your undergraduate years, and, you know, for some it's 4, but, you know, these days many it's 5, then you apply to veterinary school, and that is for another 4 years. And many veterinary students after that choose to go on to a 1-year internship where you gain a lot more experience, and you've got a lot of more mentoring. And then after that, there's many veterinarians that continue education with like a 3-year residency in a specific field.
Wow.
So just like with the medical doctors, there's plenty of specialty veterinarians that only do cardiology or only do dermatology or, you know, orthopedic surgery. So, you know, it's quite a lot of education.
Oh, my gosh. That's fascinating. And, you know, I was interested to hear you say that you worked as a volunteer when you were in middle school, because I think that's a good way for kids to get a feel for the profession and to see if it's truly something they really want to do. We're going to take a break and hear from our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back with Dr. Liz Hansen, we're going to talk about affordable quality health care for your pet. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone who was shot in the chest in cold blood and lived to tell it? Now you have. Meet Hannah Lugeri Murray, author, advocate, and survivor of domestic violence, and now the founder and president of Angel of Mercy Shelter of Hope. Her dreamlike life turned to horror as her raging husband stood across her and fired his gun. She was left for dead. By a miracle, she survived to tell her story. Her book is available on Amazon and her website. If you'd like to have a personally signed copy, please visit her website at livetotellit.com. Hannah is now in the process of raising money to build her own shelter in Chandler, Arizona. Her shelter will house abused women, their children, and unique to Arizona, their pets. For more information, please visit our website at angelofmercyshelter.org. Are you living the life you always wanted? Is your relationship fulfilling or a constant roller coaster ride? Do you know how to chart your own path? If you are sick of struggling, overwhelmed, stressed, but desire balance, emotional freedom, and a purposeful life, then it's time to try something that really works. Dr. Casey's unique result-oriented emotional mastery technique will teach you how to be your own therapist while empowering you to be your best. Learn more at drsimoncasey.com. That's drsimoncasey.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. I'm pleased to be sharing with you Dr. Liz Hansen. She's a veterinarian in Orange County, California. It's the first time she's on the show, and I've been very excited about talking to her. Right now, we're going to talk about affordable quality health care for your pet, whether it's a dog, cat, horse, you name it. She's probably treated all of them, haven't you, Dr. Liz?
I have, and I do love this topic, and I do agree that promoting affordable quality health care for your cat or dog is important as a veterinarian.
Oh, yeah. Now, how did you develop a platform promoting affordable quality health care for pets?
That's a good question. So, you know, it really started when I graduated from vet school. And I decided to take a job working with an animal shelter. And because this shelter had a really high volume of cases, that way I could gain as much experience as possible. And this particular shelter was located in a lower income neighborhood. And what I saw was that so many of these problems really could have been prevented with simple, cost-effective treatment. There's an example I want to give you that's really stuck in my head. And there was a chow that came in, and this chow was infested with fleas and ticks. And I mean hundreds of ticks attached to its head and its neck area to the point where you couldn't even see the skin. And the skin, by the time we removed the ticks, was so deeply infected and oozing, it just caused a secondary maggot infestation because the dog was left outside. Mm-hmm. And the maggots were so deep-seated in its head and going into its eyes and its ears. You know, this dog ended up losing its life because of such a severe infestation of these maggots. And so what it really showed me is that simple monthly flea and tick treatment that can be as low as $6 a month could have prevented and saved this dog's life. And really that's how it started, you know, where I felt that I needed to help promote affordable quality health care for pets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're approaching flea and tick season. And I hope all pets are protected. And there's effective and affordable products out there.
Okay, well, now we do flea treatment for our dog every month. She, of course, we have a golden noodle, and she goes in once. We spend more money on her hair than we do ours. It's insane. I mean,
now, that's a big dog with a lot of grooming.
Yes, I know. But, I mean, and she had her father was a standard white poodle, and her mother was a golden. So when we got her as a puppy, I thought, oh, she's going to be like the size of a golden. Well, she turned out to be bigger than her father. And she's a gorgeous animal, but she is so enormous. And if you don't get her groomed properly, her hair mats underneath. And we had to go through one session where they actually, it got so matted that they had to shave her. And I promised her we'd never do that again. So she has a monthly appointment, and she gets treated for fleas and ticks. And we also give her the medications and the things that you rub on her. What about the cost for this monthly treatment? How can you get around spending a lot of money?
Well, there's two parts to that question. One is, you know, as far as products go, you always have to try to see if there's a generic version. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of generic versions of products like Frontline Plus, and even medication that your veterinarian might be prescribing. You can always ask, you know, if you can't afford the name brand, is there, you know, possibly a generic one that I can buy? Because sometimes you can get a 50% saving. You know, the second part to that is, you know, not only do I try to offer clients, you know, quality and affordable pet products, but there's ways for preventing a heavy bill by doing just preventative measures. Mm-hmm. And just like what you had spoken about with your own dog in, you know, having the heavy mats, you know, when they weren't groomed well, and, you know, that probably costs money to shave down and possibly veterinary care to protect the skin. You know, with promoting preventative measures like daily brushing or daily grooming, a lot of times it prevents skin problems later. So I do talk to my clients a lot about preventative health, and that means mm-hmm. daily exercise. So you save money in not having, you know, an overweight pet that later requires diabetes treatment. Yearly visits to your veterinarian, and that way, as preventative measures, you prevent a huge health problem that, you know, that you see later that could have prevented when it was a small problem. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about, regular grooming. You know, you can give your dog a bath and daily brushing right at home. Yeah. That saves a lot of money. You know, a lot of times people don't bathe their dogs when they're puppies, and then when you start bathing your dog when they're 5 years old, you know, it becomes a frightening, disastrous experience. And so that's why I love puppy exams, because I catch you early and I tell you, you know, get that puppy in the bath early so that they're not so scared later. And you can save a lot. You can save $30 to $60 a month just knowing how to bathe your dog at home.
Oh, yeah, and that's such good advice. And, you know, our dog, her name is Zoe. And if you go to, and when I send you an email, I have, Zoe has, she's a talking dog. And so she does some, she does some promotions for me on YouTube. Actually, people have invited her to be a guest on their radio shows. However, she doesn't talk anywhere except on YouTube. So at this point, her career is kind of stalled. But, you know, we treat her for fleas and ticks all year long, not just in the summer. And I think you need to address that issue.
That is a great question, because it really depends on where you live and what your dog or cat is exposed to. It's all exposure based. And there's some families that need month-to-month, year-round flea control. And that's because the exposure to fleas and ticks is all year-round. And do I recommend that? Absolutely. If you live in an environment where you don't really have, let's say, a winter freeze, or you live in an area where, because of other surrounding pets, there's mm-hmm. always a flea and tick exposure, then there's no reason to stop it, you know, during the fall and winter months. And, you know, it's fine to continue flea and tick treatments all year round. In fact, I feel fortunate that in this day and age, we do have so many options, because I remember when I was much younger, there were only, you know, these flea collars that really didn't work very well, or flea dips that were somewhat toxic to dogs, and flea shampoos. And to this day, I remember in the summer times when I was, you know, only about 8 or 9 years old, I would actually pick fleas off with my fingers off of my poodle. And I would put them in a tennis ball container, an empty tennis ball container, and I would count how many fleas I'd pick off my dog. And so fortunate that, you know, in this day and age, we've got great products out there, and many of them are still very affordable. And so if you do need to have flea and tick control all year round, then by all means, You know, I would continue that. There's some situations where, you know, let's say you have an indoor-only cat that lives on the seventh floor of an apartment and has almost zero exposure. And in those cases, you know, of course, you may not need it. But for the most part, you know, if you have a dog, especially a golden doodle that loves to play outside and goes to the park and maybe, you know, has play dates with other dogs at the park, exposure may be year-round, and there's no reason why you should stop.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, if your pet is as important to you as ours is part of our family, it's something that you need to address and take care of. You know, we're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Dr. Liz Hansen, we're going to talk about what the most common disease that she sees in cats and dogs. We will be right back with Dr. Hansen.
One expert, one solution. The book, The 411 on Step-Parenting, teaches you how to create a well-blended step-family. The 411 on Surviving Teenhood helps parents and teens cope with teenage temptations, teachable moments, and teenage social dilemmas. The books, The 411 on Life Skills and Ace Your Life, helps those living on their own with home and money management, personal care and safety, and much more. An award-winning, best-selling author, registered nurse, and personal growth mentor, Michelle Spakianos will help you. Get the 411, my411books.com. January is thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Nancy Irwin, who will be co-hosting on iHeartRadio with January Jones. As a doctor of psychology, clinical hypnotist, and author of U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife, Dr. Nancy is an agent for change. Many people believe that change can be scary, but she believes it can actually be creative and fun. She does know a thing or two about change because at age 44, she transitioned from a stand-up comedian to shrink. Oh, believe her, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed. Most fears are learned, and the good news is whatever we learned, we can unlearn. Smoking, overeating, fear of public speaking, test anxiety, what have you. On our show, we'll be discussing how you can dissolve that negative programming and free your inner winner. Change is inevitable. You can either affect it or accept it. Visit her site, drnancyirwin.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Also, I'm pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is now available at audiobooks.com. We have a priceless personality visiting with us today, Dr. Liz Hansen. Her areas of interest include internal medicine, dermatology, soft tissue surgery, and wellness programs. The bond that is shared between a pet and an owner is what inspired Dr. Hansen to pursue a career in veterinary medicine. She says, one of the best parts of my job is not only when a patient is cured, but also when I see the joy an owner has when their pet is back to health. What a wonderful part of your profession, Dr. Hansen. Before we go on to common diseases seen in cats and dogs, let's back up a little bit and talk about the most common mistakes pet owners make when it comes to tick prevention.
I would say the most common mistake is thinking that the flea and tick season is only in the very hot months of June, July, August. And so they don't bother looking at their pets for fleas and ticks, so mainly fleas in uh-huh. those other months. And by the time, you know, I get them and they say, oh, my dog's been really itchy and he's got all these scabs everywhere, uh-huh. you know, they feel like, well, it's only April. But uh-huh. believe it or not, you know, there's plenty of places where fleas and ticks, you know, will start much earlier than just those very hot summer months. Right. Another problem is just in the way that it's applied.
Uh-huh.
You need to be very careful with the different kinds of products that you use. And in this day and age, there's a plethora of different kinds of flea and tick products.
Uh-huh.
And the two main ones, though, are either the ones that you take by mouth.
Uh-huh.
And in some cases, you know, that's recommended, and you don't have kind of a sticky residual mess, you know, on the skin. And others, you know, owners really like just putting it topically where their dogs mm-hmm. don't have to ingest anything, mm-hmm. and it goes right on the skin. Yeah. I have had some owners where they're covered with fleas because the product just simply sat on top of the fur and really didn't get down to the skin. So you really uh-huh. need to separate out the hair, especially in those thick-coated breeds like the Akitas, and
yeah.
And get down right to skin level to apply the treatment.
Uh-huh.
And also, you know, read the labels. There's some flea and tick products that are only good for 1 month. There's others that are good for 3 months. And
uh-huh.
There's even others like flea collars that can be good up to, you know, 8 or 9 months. And so
okay.
It's just really important that the label is read as to which product that you're using. And I always say, if you have any questions, your veterinarian should be very open about which product is best for your pet.
Yeah. And then you also stress use dog products on dogs only. And you shouldn't use a dog treatment on your cat. And also, bathing your dog or cat right after application of flea or tick prevention, you should avoid bathing up to 72 hours after the treatment. Isn't that true?
This is very true. In fact, the first point that you brought up is so important. And, you know, the label reading for whether it's a cat or a dog product, I cannot stress enough how important it is to make sure that you're only giving a cat product to a cat, because
uh-huh.
it can be extremely toxic when you apply a dog flea and tick product onto a cat. So just make sure that when you buy the product, you really read the label.
Uh-huh.
And if you use a topical flea and tick product, it's best that you don't bathe your dog several days after you apply it. You just
mm-hmm.
you need to give that product time to get soaked into the skin and get
yeah.
absorbed, and not, you know, wash the product that you just bought away. And,
yeah.
You know, if your dog is really dirty, maybe consider giving it a bath first, having it completely dry, and then mm-hmm. apply the product.
Absolutely. Now, there's benefits for your pet, and they will help avoid skin reactions. But also, there's extra health benefits for you as the pet owner. Flea and tick prevention also prevents Lyme's disease, flea bites, tapeworms, allergens, and it reduces the amount of shedding from pets who shed more often when they have a flea infestation. That keeps your house cleaner and safer for everyone. Isn't that an amazing thing that you have to realize that this treatment is also healthy for you too?
Yes, this is a hot topic right now because we're heading into the warmer season, and
uh-huh.
that is true. Protecting your dog or your cat from pesky fleas and ticks will definitely help the health of your pet. But if you think about it, it's as equally important to the health of the family and the home. Those dogs that come in that are allergic to fleas and they're covered with fleas, you know, a lot of times they've got huge areas on their body where they've lost a lot of hair because of this
mm-hmm.
allergic reaction. Well, that hair has to go somewhere, and all that dander has to go somewhere, and it's more than likely sitting on your couch or sitting
yeah.
on your floor. And, you know, if you especially have young children that are crawling around on their hands and knees, you know, that's all that hair and dander all over your home. And many of these dogs with skin allergies, they also get a secondary bacterial infection. And I've seen many dogs with like a MRSA infection, which is like a resistant bacterial infection to their skin, which is also not healthy for your family. So it is so important to make sure that you focus on preventative measures and, you know, get them controlled with fleas and ticks, you know, especially right now where the warmer weather is coming. There's no excuse not to. I mean, there's so many products out there. Many are affordable, and it's just a win-win situation for not just your pet, but also for you. And, all the secondary changes that you can prevent, including things like worms. You know, there's cats that get tapeworms secondary to flea infestation. And there's so many times where I've got an owner that comes in and brings me, you know, these dried up, you know, almost they look like rice grains. And they say, you know, I've seen this all over my pillow, and I don't know what this is, but it seems like it happens every time my cat sleeps with me. And what they are they're dried up tapeworm segments that are crawling out from the cat's anus.
Oh, my gosh.
And falling down. And, you know, a lot of times these family members are sleeping with their pets, and you've got these tapeworm segments coming out of the anus, falling onto their bed. And where they get these tapeworm segments are from the fleas. So the cats will go in, and because they're meticulous groomers, try to pick out these fleas with their mouth and accidentally swallow the flea. And that will cause a secondary tapeworm infestation that will subsequently, you know, also affect the family's home. So, there's so many reasons why you should use preventative flea and tick control.
Oh, my gosh. This is very convincing. I used it anyway, but it's even more convincing. And, you know, there are 850 species of ticks that transmit Lyme's disease, Rocky Mountain fever, and many other diseases. Also, reiterate that you should never remove a tick with your bare hands. You should use tweezers and grasp the tick close to the skin and gently pull to remove. Right now, we're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Dr. Hansen, we're going to talk about the common diseases seen in cats and dogs. And also, she's going to share her website information and some products that you might want to consider for your beloved animal. We'll be right back.
Layla, a book by Jeannie Kerrigan, will take you on a journey, a raw, heart-wrenching journey. The final resting place? Love. Jeannie is an author, healer, and executive director of Ricky's Revolution Nonprofit. You can get your copy of her book at JeannieKerrigan.com. Ricky's Revolution comes directly out of Layla, dedicated to helping homeless runaway youths and victims of sex trafficking reach a place of safety. We distribute Jeannie's monkey named Ricky with vital hotline numbers embroidered on him free to children on the street through loving collaboration with thousands. Proceeds from the book and your donations have saved lives. Ricky'sRevolution.org. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Millard, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with my lovely guest, Dr. Liz Hansen, who has two miniature long-haired dachshunds named Peanut and Butter, two leopard geckos, African chicklids, and a cat named Martini. I like that name. When Dr. Hansen is not practicing veterinary medicine, she and her husband enjoy watching their four sons compete in swimming and golf. She also loves to cook, read, and most of all, travel. Dr. Hansen, could you share your website information and share with my listeners how they can contact you?
Well, I do work as a veterinarian at Corona Del Mar Animal Hospital in Southern California, and there is a website with vetiq.com that they can go to get more information about certain products that I recommend that are affordable and high in quality, and those are two places that they can get more information.
Okay, and you're an outspoken advocate for the need to provide the average consumer with the best quality products for their pets at affordable prices. Your first national television commercial is now airing throughout the United States on behalf of VetIQ's VetGuard Plus, VetGrade Flea and Tick Protection. Now, let's talk a little bit about the most common disease that you see in cats and dogs these days.
Believe it or not, the most common disease is actually not related to fleas and ticks, but it is periodontal disease. Dental disease is the most common problem that we see on a daily basis with cats and dogs. And part of the reason why is that owners really don't recognize, and dogs and cats don't show the signs of pain when they have periodontal disease. Even if they have a tooth root abscess with a swollen face, a lot of times, if I ask an owner, well, you know, how did you see that it had a tooth root abscess? They won't say it's because my dog was in pain. They'll just say, well, there was a swelling on its face. So it's a hard thing for owners to pick up on, because not everybody looks in their dog's mouth on a regular basis. And commonly, I will see a cat or a dog, and it's not until I, you know, flip up its lip and I show all the black teeth that they realize how much infection is in their mouth. And, you know, I would say the number one most common sign that owners will pick up on is bad breath. But dental disease is definitely the most common disease.
Okay, now our dog goes in twice a year to see the vet and have her shots and everything, and her teeth get checked then. I also use a dog treat for dental. What are your thoughts on that?
So preventative health care for dental disease is by far and wide the best way to keep your dog's teeth healthy. Once your veterinarian assesses your dog's teeth and gets them clean and healthy, then what I like to spend most of my time talking about is how to prevent, you know, the buildup of plaque and tartar so quickly to come back again. And that way we avoid expensive dental extractions and know, other problems that we typically see when your dog becomes, you know, middle-aged to older. So things like dental chew treats or VOHC, Veterinary Oral Health Council approved rawhides. You know, the gold standard is brushing, but to be honest with you, I have very little clients who have compliance with daily toothbrushing. If you brush your dog's teeth, you know, only once a month, it's really not going to make a big difference. It really needs to be on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm a mother of four kids and working full time, so I understand the need to make pet health care practical and affordable and still at a high quality. And so what I try to promote is what's realistically possible. And, you know, to help prevent dental disease, I usually say if you can brush a dog's teeth, great. As much as you can, great. And, you know, in between those brushings, try to give them, you know, like a dental chew treat you know, a VOHC-approved rawhide. You know, all those things help, you know, get them to do daily chewing, if not daily brushing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, we only have 2 minutes. What is your definition of success, and do you have any regrets as a veterinarian?
Well, you know, before I get to that, I just want to mention the three generic products that I do promote, and that's the Minty's Dental Treat, VetGuard Plus, which is generic, and it's very similar to Advantix. There's also another one called Pet Lock Plus that you can get in Petco, or Pet Action Plus that you can get in Sam's Club and Walmart, which is like the generic form of Frontline Plus. So I just want to at least mention that so people know that they have the generic option. But as far as my definition of success, it really comes from John Wooden's book called Inch and Miles, The Journey of Success. And I get that from when my kids learned about it when they were in elementary school. And John Wooden puts it best. He says, success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction and knowing you did your best to become the best you are capable of becoming. And I really feel that that's been my inspiration and guideline towards success, is his book with all the pyramids that he, the pyramid of success that he outlines.
Thank you. That's wonderful to share that. And just quickly, what advice do you have for my grandson who wishes to pursue a career in veterinary medicine?
Two things I would encourage him to go on, and that goes with John Wooden's two blocks of his pyramid of success. One is industriousness. He says success travels in the company of very hard work. There's no trick. There's no easy way. You know, it really comes down to hard work. You've got to get the grades. You got to put your education as a priority, because grades and test scores really do matter when applying for veterinary school. The second one is enthusiasm. Just like John Wooden puts it, your energy and enjoyment, drive, and dedication will stimulate and greatly inspire others. And, you know, really, even though you don't, you may not have support or you're discouraged because classes are hard and, you know, it costs a lot of money, if you have great passion for that goal, it's going to help fuel your drive to get that career as a veterinarian. And those are two things that I really recommend if, you know, you have that path and you face obstacles. And, you know, most of the times if you are determined and you persevere, you know, your grandson will definitely get there.
Well, thank you for that advice, and thank you for coming on our show. As you know, I adore animals, and I adored sharing you with our listeners today, and I hope you will come back again to visit with us in the future.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. I've enjoyed it, and after this show, I'll be taking Zoe down to our neighborhood pooch park and share with them all the information I found out today about fleas and ticks. My upcoming guests will all inspire and inform you, just as Dr. Liz has today. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, please sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. If you would like to be a guest or advertise with us, just go to info@januaryjones.com. We really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success with our pets. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest today, Dr. Liz Hansen. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
Hi, Sorantos here with January. Check out my new smooth R&B song called Back and Forth. 33% of profits for this song are going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Lately, I hear the melodies of sorrow as the story unfolds.
I hope you enjoyed my melody. Check out my other songs for free on my website at www.melogia.com.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.